yourself.
Let's give a hand of praise for Michelle. Amen. You know, I love to see the fruit in people's lives, and I love to see, you know, how the truth sets us free and actually brings us to a place of change. That's the main thing. We're here to change, and that's all we want to do is change. You know, we need truth, and our battles aren't flesh and blood. We understand that. We're spiritual people who need to live in spirit. There's a lot of things that keep us motivated. Of course, we all have a desire to see God work in our lives. We all have a desire to be in His will. You know, God's one of His trumpets that blow is, "My children suffer or perish because of lack of knowledge." And this place is a place to receive that knowledge so that we can live in God's will and be set free and not only have freedom on this earth, but let that freedom lead us to eternal life, because there is a life after death. How many people truly understand that there's a life after death? Now, I'm a big person in the sense of I don't really am too concerned about life after death. My main concern is that you get life now. And that life, if you get now, you have a free ticket. So when you leave, you got a free ticket to eternal life. You know, I don't want to see you perish and suffer and go through torment and all these other things in your life when you don't have to, and then think that you're going to reach a glorious place when you leave this earth. It's not going to happen. It's our job, those who have called by God, commissioned with that living water, commissioned with the living word, to make sure that those that are called upon His name reach that place of a life that is eternal now. How many people understand what I said? Good, because it's very important. You know, the world is great to live in, okay? But it's better when you live in we'll say, the throne room, and you live in the world. You know, Jesus says, I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world. Listen, I love all that the world offers. Trust me, I love it. How many people love amusement parks and hunting and, you know, and all that great stuff that the world has to offer? I'm a big fan of it. I love movies. I love nice things. I love it. I'm a big fan of it. But at the same time, I like to do it in the kingdom. And what I mean by in the kingdom is I want to be happy when I'm hunting. Or I want to be happy and full of joy when I'm at the amusement park. I want to be happy and full of joy when I'm watching, I don't care, any kind of movie. I love Mary Lou's testimony when she says, "I used to watch the chick flicks and every year I would just bawl. Now I'm not bawling anymore." Well, amen. That means that you're coming into the throne room and you're able to live in the world without having that torment and that sorrow and that suffering. Amen. And that's the purpose. That's the purpose of being a Christian. That's the purpose of knowing Christ, the living spirit inside of us. To be able to be strengthened and equipped with power. Power from above, the divine spirit of God, to equip us and to give us strength to overcome all the hardship that is out there. Everyone is suffering. Wouldn't you agree? Everybody is confused. Even when you're in the kingdom, you suffer and you're confused. You're not quite sure if it's going to go out good or if it's going to fall apart and, you know, come out bad or whatever it is. You don't know. But what you do know is that you're in the kingdom and everything's going to work out for the good. Everything's going to be turned around for the good. Everything's going to work out fine. Nothing's going to be devastating and be destroyed and ruined and all that other stuff. You're lifted up. And that's what I want to be. I want to be lifted up. I want to be lifted up on that throne room. How many people really want to be lifted up into that throne room? Well, the only way that could happen is by knowing the mysteries, knowing the knowledge, getting our hearts changed, renewing our minds, stop allowing the darkness to actually have authority over our lives. I'm sick and tired of having darkness over my life. I'm sick and tired of always being concerned about fighting spiritual battles when God should be fighting these battles. How many people understand that? You know, God should be whacking these things down. So we need to look at it in a positive way. We need to be able to see that it might look dark, it might look ugly, it might look whatever, but at the same time, God turns things around. Now, I've been speaking a message, and I really have a strong conviction of bringing people into the kingdom of God. I feel as though that is really, truly the gospel of this inheritance that God has given us. And if we don't know how to enter into the kingdom of God, then we might as well just throw out our religion, throw out our Christianity, throw out our belief with God, just right out the window, because we create our own life. We got the pillow God. We got, you know, all these other things that we're living in and worshiping, but we're not living the true living God. I want signs, wonders, and miracles to follow us. And when you worship the true living God, you live in signs, wonders, and miracles. That's the true God. That's the God of faith. The God that you can't see. I love the brochure that we have today. You know, we worship and praise Him even though we can't see Him. And He honors our faith because of that. He honors us and endures us and protects us and lives because we're worshiping His name. And as we worship His name, 24 elders are casting crowns before our Lord because we're worshiping Him. Wouldn't you love to have that power and authority so that heaven recognizes your worship? You're over here praising God, worshiping His name, and the heaven's host is taking their crowns off their heads and throwing them at the feet of God. That's what I want. I want to be able to vision every time I lift up His name and glorify His name, even through the darkness, you know, even through the storms. And I'm saying, Lord, I want to just glorify You. Whatever it is, I'm glorifying You through this pain. I'm glorifying You through this suffering or this dark time or this mourning. I'm glorifying Your name. And then just envision all heaven just kneeling down and casting their crowns, saying, You're worthy to our Lord. How many people would love to see that happen in your life? I do too. Now there's steps. We need knowledge. We need to know the mysteries. These are ancient secrets and mysteries that have been since the foundations of the world. And I'm blessed and honored to be able to receive them. It's like I was abducted to receive the mysteries, to bring them down on earth for the world to hear, because I truly believe that we're living in a harvest. We're living at the last times. We're living at a crest of a revival. We're living at a crest of, you know, this world changing. How? I have no idea how it's going to transpire. The world will continue to go on and on and on. But there's changes of ages. How many people believe or understand that one? And we're living at a change of an age. We're coming into a new age. Our new age that we're looking at right now is like the electronic, everything is done electronic computer kind of cyberspace way. Well, if you're like my age, I mean, I'm lost. Forget about that. I can't even live in that realm. So let's look at it as it's the end of my age. And there's a revival that is going to take place. There's, you know, a coming of Christ that's going to manifest to all that, those that are in that age, and come and take us and be born again and raptured away and all these other things. But let's focus on now. Let's truly be concerned about our own salvation. Where do you sit? Where is your place in that heavenly place? Does the Spirit know who you are? Does darkness tremble when you're walking in this world? Is darkness looking at you and going, ah, what do you want from me? Leave me alone. I'm staying away from you. I want darkness to run from me. I want the glory that just sits and resonates around me, where darkness just screams. They just run. Watch it live. The sick be healed and the leopards cleansed and the deaf hear and the blind eyes open up. And I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. I like to see when someone, all of a sudden, the oppression lifts and their mind is clear and the lame and the weak begin to be strong and able to pull themselves out of that miry pit and begin to live life again and have hope. That's what I'm talking about. That's what it's all about. You know, when I see that happening in people's lives, I look at it and I say, wow, I'm just ching, 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 ching. My reward is just banking up in that eternal realm. Don't get caught up in this world. Bank up your treasures in heaven. Get that place where the glory sits on you. And then darkness and the principalities and the powers know your name. And that your mind is clear. And that your hopes and your dreams are all fulfilled because our God gave them to you. Nothing better, nothing more than when your hopes are filled. And one of the things that I say in my prayers, God, those that hear your word, fill the desires of their heart, because that's the way they'll see you. Do the impossible in their lives. You are a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. Do things in their lives that no one can do. Bring that hope, bring that dream, bring that desire that is in them to life so that they can worship you, praise you, glorify your name. That in itself is like my reward. And I'm grateful and honored to be in that position to be able to have that reward from the heavenly place. Now, coming to the throne room, coming to the kingdom of God, we have to understand that we have ourselves a responsibility. And you're here today, there's a reason why. And I want to describe the inner man, what you're like. And I'm going to tell you, you're like a field, okay? You're like a tract of land, and that land has soil because you were made and created by soil. I mean, it was a representation where God picked up the dust and you were created. But you're like soil. And in that soil, there has been seeds that have been planted. Good seeds and bad seeds. And you're growing a field. Fields of all kinds of trees and, you know, vegetables or whatever and fruits and all this stuff. You got all kinds of stuff growing inside of you. You're like a wilderness. And in that, you have to look at what seeds, and you have to go through, and you got to sift through your life. You have to sift through your field. This is so important to understand. You can't just live life and think that, you know, this is it, and you look carnally, and, you know, you look around and all. You have to look inside and see the field that you have. Now, Bible talks about a lot of things about bearing good fruit and, you know, being pruned and, you know, so that your branches will be healthy and grow more and, you know, pull out the weeds and the tares, you know, pull out the weeds and all that stuff. But in order for us to come into the kingdom of God, the kingdom or the throne room is also relative to righteousness, peace, and joy. They are the three subjects, the three main keys to enter into a new life. These are the things that we war for. These are the things that we try to bring ourselves into submission. Right now, I'm focusing on peace. Peace is a very important part of your life that you have to protect. You have to, you know, work it out. You have to maintain it. You have to find things that are stealing your peace. Most of us, all of our peace is being stolen one way or another. Wouldn't you agree? Now, you have to ask yourself, why is this peace being stolen? Okay? I spoke many messages ago about legal contracts and stuff, and that service just blew my mind how God was ripping up some contracts that were over our lives based on darkness that had legal rights. Please log on and get that message. You'll have a better understanding. I was sharing with the other pastors here before service that this place is like a living water. It's the voice of God, and God is speaking to us every week, basically, but it's throughout the day, and we are to walk with Him and be led by Him, and He knows what tomorrow is going to bring in your life. And if we don't have the Rhema word, the living word that we can hear and understand and apply in our lives, we're going to be left behind. You want to know what truly it means to be left behind? I'm going to tell you what it is to be left behind. Not hearing that Rhema word constantly in your life so that you're walking along with God. And we are a voice of Him to give you that walk with Him. We're the living voice. You know, a lot of times we can't hear the voice in our own lives because of the pressures of the world or the things that are laid heavy on us. But God has removed the oppression off our lives. We're set free to bring His word. And in hopes that you too will become free and hear the Rhema word and walk in that life. You know, it's good to have a facade. It's good to say everything's great. And you know, but when things start hitting you, when you're tried and tested in areas of your life, it seems like we'll show you how strong you really are. Watch this. I'm going to whack you and take your legs right out, and we'll see how strong you are. Well, have your legs whacked out and still be strong. That's where we're going. You see? That's where God is calling true servants, true generals, true people of God for this eternal life where we're heading to. But let's get back to peace and the garden, the land that is inside of you. And Paul would say, why do I continue to do the things that I keep on doing that I don't want to do? Now, he could be referring to a lot of things. But I truly believe Paul knew the mysteries and he knew the truth. And one of the things was peace. And he probably was like, why do I let this stuff aggravate me? And why am I getting frustrated? And why am I getting angry? And why am I getting annoyed? Why am I causing accusations and lies? And why am I believing these judgments in my mind that is calling my heart to be so angry and frustrated? And why is my peace being stolen? He says, because of sin that dwells within me. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want you to think that you're all filled with sin. I want you to think that there are seeds planted in your soil back in the day that you never plucked out. And some of them could be as big as trees. Some of them could be at a point in your life where you got to literally take an axe. And how many people have chopped down a tree before? And how hard? I thank God for chainsaws, but you know, could you imagine if you had to do it with your own axe that you have to sharpen and all that other stuff? I mean, it is hard. And, you know, I like the little ones, but when you're looking at a big one, you might be there for days, months, long, long time, whacking those trees down. And so it's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of, first of all, you got to search it out and find it. You know, little weeds, they're easy. We could pluck them out all day long. That's how we're kind of living our life. But we're ignoring those big oak trees. We're ignoring those big, heavy-duty, big ones. And we're continuing to do the same thing over and over and over again. And so we have to learn how to chop these trees down. Now, I'm going to tell you how to start chopping these trees down. I'm going to give you a chainsaw. I'm hoping to give you a chainsaw. I'm hoping so it'll be easier. What we have to do is we have to reflect back and see what things used to offend us. We have to look back and find those offenses, because those offenses are the beginnings of the seeds. We have to look back and what causes us. And these offenses are also caused by judgment. You might look at somebody and you might judge them, and then you're offended by the way they're living. And next thing you know, you're planting little tiny seeds in your life, and then you continue to water it. You continue to look and you continue to judge. And then the darkness comes in and has legal right to whisper in your ear. Look at that person over there. Can you believe it? How did they can possibly do that? Look at that. Oh my God. And it builds on it and waters it. And you believe the lies. And next thing you know, they start petting you. Oh, you don't deserve that. You deserve better. That person's ignoring you. Look at that. Look at this. Oh my God. And it just keeps doing it more and more and more. And those offenses begin to build up, and the judgments begin to get thicker and bigger and thicker and bigger, and it just keeps growing and growing, and it becomes a form of your life. And guess what? Not only is it cursing you and robbing you and stealing from you, but it's bringing pain. It's robbing joy in your life. And then you say to yourself, why am I never getting a breakthrough? Why is this never happening in my life? And then it increases. Oh, look at them over there. They have it. How come I don't have it? Look at that. How come he can't just listen to me? How come he can't just do that? How come this is happening? How come that's happening? Oh, it's so stupid. Oh, geez. Why? Why? And it just keeps manifesting more and more, and then it becomes bitterness. Oh, that's a dangerous place to fall into. Because now you got a tree that is so fat. How many of us have these big fat trees in our lives and that we can't seem to get through? And, you know, we're so focused on bearing good fruit. You know, make sure that you bear good fruit. You know, I don't even want to look at the good fruit anymore. All that does is build up pride. Oh, well, look at my righteousness. Oh, look at this righteousness. Oh, I'm so good, and that person doesn't deserve it because I'm so good. I bear good fruit. Look at all the good fruit. I'm a good person. I do all the right things. I speak right. I look right. I do all this. I don't even want to look at the good fruit. I've changed the way I thought. It's almost like eating the apple that Eve ate, and God said, don't eat that apple. That could have been the righteousness of man, that apple. I want to look at the weeds that are destroying my life. I want to look at the big oak trees that I have to start chopping down. I want to look at all the judgment and the offenses that I have accumulated through my life, not knowing. Listen, back in the day, I was an ignorant individual. And yeah, I went through many, many hurts and many, many backstabbings and many, many things. And you would say that I have every right to feel the way I do. But I don't have any right to feel the way I do. I have to look with compassion and mercy. I need eyes of grace and forgiveness. I need to be able to look and say that God is a God who gives and takes away. I have to look at him on the throne room and be able to say to myself, where are the oak trees? Where are these weeds that I have to rip out and chop down? I need to clean out my ground so that I stop bearing bad fruit, so that I stop causing more sin in my life that is hidden. Paul, a man with great wisdom, kept saying, why do I keep doing these same things? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? How many of us here today and those that are listening are asking why? I know why. It starts inside. You want change around you? You want change in your own life? This is the keys. We can't expect change and live in a nasty, nasty garden. You know, it's like you want good tomatoes, but yet you got all this nasty weeds choking the heck out of it, hiding the sun and taking up all the water when it's raining or you watering it, and then you're expecting why you don't have good tomatoes. Anybody can see that you're not going to have any good tomatoes if that stuff keeps up, if you're a good farmer. You know, if you're wise in that nature, if you know the mysteries, or you can neglect your field. You can neglect it. And then you can go around feeding more of the bad fruit and grumble and complain and blame it on everything. It's my soil. We didn't get enough rain this season. And the sun stayed behind clouds. You can go and point fingers at everything and never take responsibility of going out there and pulling out those weeds. Never looking within your own garden and being able to look and see what's robbing you and stealing and destroying. Listen, darkness cannot do anything. But if you allow contracts over your life, darkness has every right, and God is saying, do what is required. Because heaven has wrote a law. And if we don't abide and understand the law in heaven, we're going to be destroyed. It's no different than doing something in the land, illegal, and then turn around and wonder why you're in jail. You're over there saying, oh, it wasn't me that did it. It was them. I'm right. I'm legal. I'm okay. I didn't do anything wrong. They just don't understand. He was having a bad day. I got locked up without a cause. Is this what is happening in our lives? Is this what is going on? And then we cloak our righteousness. Oh, God, I'm going to go and pray. Oh, I'm going to do that. I want to tell you what. Prayer is a constant walk. You want to pray? You want prayer in your life? Seek righteousness. Don't look how good you are. Look how bad you are. Now, I'm saying this for your own good. I'm taking examples of our forefathers. Who was the one that said, but I'm the chief sinner of you all? I love Paul. I love Paul so much, I speak a lot about him. And Paul says, I'm the chief sinner of you all. Why did he say that? Because he had eyes to see, not the good fruit. Who cares about the good fruit? Who cares? That good fruit is only because God allowed that good fruit to be there. We shouldn't glorify ourselves because of the good fruit. We should look and attack, not condemn, but attack the bad fruit. Rip out the gardens. Rip out those seeds. Stop watering them. They come through bitterness. I have two scripture verses that I want to share. Because of time, I want to try to hurry up. Over here in Matthew 3:10, I believe it is. It says here, it may even go as far as the righteousness, because I see that he says, well, we're from Adam. But it says, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And they were talking about Jesus at that time because he was bringing a word. that the kingdom of God is at hand. And we have a responsibility to enter into this kingdom. You know, I look at the gospel and the gospel message as a whole different outlook anymore. The importance of God's children is to enter into this place. It's an inheritance. It's a promised land. It was meant to give it to us. And our inheritance is being stolen. And once we enter into this promised land, I'm going to tell you right now, there is no more mourning. There is no more gnashing of teeth. There is no more suffering. Things begin to align up. Restoration begins to be restored. You want things to be changed in your life? Forget about the things that you want changed. Enter into the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, your life will change dramatically. We focus too much on the things that are out there that are attacking us rather than us focusing on trying to enter into the kingdom. And maybe it's because we just don't know how. But I am going to try to tell you, and I'm going to try my hardest to lead you into this place. I'm going to do the best that I can possibly do, but I can only speak the words, but it's up to you to drink them. It's up to you to apply. How many have heard that saying, I can lead a horse to water, but I just can't make it drink? Well, you know, before I used to develop bad seeds in my garden, I used to judge and have bitterness because, you know what? I was like, why are they suffering? I gave them the words. They know how to follow it. How come they're not drinking the water? Oh, I'm so tired of seeing people suffer. I've told them how to get there. I told them how to drink. This is nothing. Let them burn. Then I realized it's not my job to open up the eyes. It's not my job to make them drink. It's God's job. And then I began to forgive them. And then my prayer was, Father, please, don't let them suffer. Open up their eyes. Open up their ears so that they can hear the words. Let them give them strength. Give them strength to be able to apply. You know how hard it is to walk into the kingdom? I shared a message about the road is like the yellow brick road. And the shoes on Dorothy were like the gospel of peace. And you got this wicked witch with her monkeys flying, trying to attack Dorothy. Well, that's what's happening in the heavenly realms. You know, the witch is going, hee, 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 hee. All I want is the ruby slippers. That's all I want. That's all the darkness wants from you is your peace. You know, peace. When we can restore peace in our lives, then joy will come. It'll come in the morning. We don't have to try to focus on joy. Joy is like it automatically happens. It's like putting fuel in your car, and your car just automatically runs. But without the fuel, your car's not going to go anywhere. We're like this, kicking the car, saying, how come it's not running? And we're saying, well, geez, I don't have the peace to make it run. That's why I believe the peace was referred to as the feet, you know, because it causes us to run. It causes us to walk. It causes us to get on that yellow brick road and lead to the Emerald City. You know, I want to thank God for Him speaking to us and leading us and guiding us. But we need to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. We need to be able to walk. We need to be able to have the sword of the Spirit. There's another verse here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And this is something that lays real heavy on my heart. Because it refers to like running the race with endurance. And if we don't have peace, we don't know how to protect our peace, and the enemy is constantly stealing our peace, I'm going to tell you right now, we can't endure this race. You're going to fail. It's going to be so hard. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, running with weights on your shoulders is very difficult. Running with the wrong shoes, it's hard. How many people understand about running with like big combat boots on versus those real light, airy Nike sneakers or what have you? You know, them fancy stuff that like they're basically weigh nothing when you pick them up. I want to run with those. I don't want to run with the big heavy clogs, the ones that are weighed down and hurting. But it says here, it says, I'm going to start off on verse 2. It's Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith. Because if we look at Christ, we can see the sufferings and all. And he lifts his eyes up and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was warring against bitterness and judgment and all these other things. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You see? Who for the joy that was set before him. Obviously, he knew how to put on peace. Obviously, he knew about peace because it was the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And then it says here, it says, despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as to sons. And then it says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Now, I want you to understand that chastening by God is really just that he wrote a law in heaven and gave rights to darkness to attack you. If you don't rip up these contracts, if you don't rip the weeds out of your garden, if you don't take the axe to these trees, then it's the chastening of God. God doesn't actually physically spank you. He lets darkness come and attack you. How many people understand what I'm talking about? So we don't look at God and say, why are you forsaking me? No, we look at ourselves and say, I got to keep ripping these weeds out. I got to keep chopping these oak trees down. I got to clean out my garden. I got to bear fruit worthy of repentance. And then we live under this righteous law, and I'll get into that later. But we need to understand first to get peace. No sense in me bringing you righteousness if you have no peace. I need to establish a foundation of peace. Because the only righteousness you're going to get is through that bitterness and that anger and that judgment and that resentment and those offenses that put those big trees in your garden to begin with. And then it says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So that's basically saying, don't get mad at God. Don't look up there and say, why have you forsaken me? No. Begin to understand the laws. Begin to understand the spiritual life. We all fall short of his glory. We're all subject to it. But if we're trained and equipped, and if we are renewed by the washing of this word, and our minds are cleansed, and we begin to change the way we're thinking, we're going to be built up automatically. Wouldn't you agree? It's no different than being instructed and guided and led by our Father in heaven or our earthly father. And eventually we're going to grow up as like good kids because we were instructed and guided and directed on a daily basis, not just once in a gray moon. That's why it's so important to come under the word, to come under the rhema word. Don't just think you can whip out the Bible and think that you obtained. And so it says here, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he is for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Do you see where it comes? The peaceable fruit of righteousness? It becomes peace first, and then righteousness. And I'll share with you how that happens. To those who have been trained by it, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which one will not see the Lord. And then it talks about be careful, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. It just gets uglier and uglier and uglier. And so it's so important. Please, let's stop the suffering. Let's come into that kingdom. Let's come into that heavenly place. Let's begin to start looking at ourselves and don't look at our righteousness. Look, everybody does great deeds. Woohoo! You know where I'm coming from? Let's look at the stuff that we're bitter about. Let's look at why we're offended. What gives us the right to be offended? Why are we judging? Who gives us the right to judge? Who cares about how others live their lives? Let's be concerned about how we're living our life. Let's be concerned about how we're working out our own salvation. I believe most of our problems and most of our sufferings come from the past, which came from offenses and judgments. And those things turned into bitterness. And I believe they continue to attack us. And they continue to attack us. And continue to attack us. And continue to attack us. And then this is even what's worse. We even forget about the offenses. We even forget about the judgments. We even forget about the bitterness towards it all. And yet the suffering keeps on going. It keeps happening. It keeps going. It keeps happening. I believe today that God is going to begin to bring a chainsaw into your life. I know, because I ask God, do a fast work. Those that are here today and those that are listening are called by God. Their heart is sincere. They really want to know Him. They really want to walk in that life. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. They want change. They want the blessings of God. They want the inheritance that's due to them. The inner man is rising up saying, I want my inheritance. I know it. I know it. Because he said, God promised to me that I'm going to draw all men unto you. You lift me up, I'm going to draw all men unto you. And those that are being drawn unto this word are his chosen. And if you're his chosen, he's put an inner spirit inside of you that is saying, I want to rise up. I want to be victorious. These things that are happening around me are injustice. Something's not right. I'm being accused without a cause. I'm being accused without a cause. How many feel that way? How many people in your lives are causing aggravation, frustration based on their actions? Trust me, I know how this spiritual warfare garbage works. And if you want people to line up, if you want that honor, you want that respect, you want justice in your life, then we need to take responsibility of our own Let God convict them and they'll turn it around and begin to apologize and say, I'm sorry. And they will repent and generational curses will be broken. And then restoration will happen, not only in your life, but in others. I believe we're all a part. We all are intertwined. We're all affected. But God has given you the truth, the axe. He's using a chainsaw today. So let us just bow our heads for a moment. Father, I've seen you do great signs, wonders, and miracles. I've been through many nations with the other pastors and some other individuals in this ministry who have seen your glory. Lord, I ask that you bring your spirit in this place and begin to heal, deliver, set free. Reveal to them first the roots. These things that are causing problems and issues in their lives. Open up their eyes and begin to go back. Far, far, far back. Remove the righteous fruit that is blinding them. And let them see what it might be. The judgments, the bitterness, the offenses. We have no control, we have no abilities to change other people's lives, but we do for our own. We're the cause. So I ask, Lord, make us worthy for fruits of repentance so that we can start off this new year entering into the kingdom of God. Let us just wait on him. He's going to begin to reveal some things to us. Just allow these visions to start coming. Things are going to happen in the past that we have no control over. We can't even fix it. We can't even go back, and maybe some of them have even deceased into our lives. We can't even communicate with them anymore. Not even to say we're sorry. And there are some that we can even say are sorry, we're sorry till the cows come home, but they won't even listen. God is saying it doesn't matter. As long as there is repentance in your heart and you realize what went wrong, it's as Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God is saying, I forgive you, for you knew not what you did. I seen a big one. Mine happened about when I was 16 years old. God's taken us far back. Let him forgive us. Let him bring these visions to us. Let him show you where we have caused an offense. Let him show you where you might have judged and caused bitterness in your heart towards an individual. Let us get these things chopped out of our lives. Some of us may be holding on to things that hurt our heart. We have to let them go, let them free. it just keeps bringing more pain. And then we judge. And then we judge God. We constantly question why? Some of our offenses are even towards God. And God is saying, I forgive you, for you know not what you do. There is a spirit of grace that is being poured out right now, a form of forgiveness that we're undeserving, but yet we deserve it. I just obtained another vision in my life. Lord, go deeper. Go deeper, even when we were a child, even when we were younger. Go deeper. Just got another one when I was much younger. Let him show you. Let him reveal these things to you. Some of us might be getting blocked by blaming that other person. It's not the other person. It's not that other person. Yes, maybe that person could have controlled their actions. Yes, that person could have done things differently. Yes, but it's deeper. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. Begin to thank Him and take that same spirit that came in today and sit on your own time. Sit and pray. Don't let that anointing lift when you leave this place. You know, as you drive home, when you drive to another location, when you come home tonight, take that same spirit that came and call upon His name and say, Lord, reveal those things to me. Wash over me and continue until you find a piece of cleansiness. You know, listen, there was a scripture verse that, you know, God said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. So don't think that you're still going to be totally cleansed. There are some that are going to have to still grow in your garden for reasons that I don't quite comprehend yet. I'm like, Lord, rip it all out, you know. But, you know, we're more focused on the ones that God is saying, okay, enough. We have to release these contracts. We have to be set free. Now I'm going to release something. How many people have ever received blessings from the Lord? Okay, good. How many people have felt guilty for those blessings? Okay, I want you to break those lies. Break them. How many people have felt guilty for having good things, nice things? Stop. They're lies. You deserve them. You deserve them. You deserve them. You deserve them. Listen, I believe God's going to bring greater things in your life. I believe God's going to bring greater blessings in your life. Receive what you have now so that the greater and bigger things come in, you'll feel better about it. Take it now. How many of us want bigger and greater things in our life? Okay, well, we got to break the guilt. We got to break the shame. We got to receive this stuff. You're a child of God. You deserve all the goodness. I'm happy that you got goodness. If I'm happy you got goodness, God is saying I'm happy that you got goodness. Now, why aren't you happy? Start being grateful. Start thanking Him. Don't feel bad that you have nice things. Don't feel bad that you've been given a fortunate life. Don't feel bad that, you know, things are coming around good and all that other stuff. How many people understand what I'm saying? I believe in 2017, God is going to do signs, wonders, and miracles in your life. And He's going to bring better things. And if we're going to be walking around feeling bad that we've been blessed, shame on you. You don't deserve to be where you're at. God wants to continue to bless you, whether it's physically, spiritually, mentally, or monetarily. He wants to do it in your life. Please let Him do it more. Please let God do it more. When you start to feel guilty and you reject the blessings of God, listen to me. He backs off and says, okay, because He'd rather not put guilt on you. He wants you to be free from guilt. He wants you to be free from shame. They're lies. And I'm here to break the lies. I'm here to wipe them away, wash them clean. And so God wants to not only restore, but to give you 100-fold more. Whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in a job, favor, love from friends, families, spouses, children, whatever it is. Give it to Him. I thank God for everything that I have. And I say, more, Lord. And if people have a problem with it, I tell them to get over it. Because this is from God. Everything is from God. And I hope that you have that same heart. I hope that when people offer you something over the holidays, don't go, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, thank you, but no. You just receive it and say, thank you, God. In your heart, just say, thank you, God. It's not the person, it's God. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to end this service. He ministered to us enough. Oh, Kurt has something to say, and you're going to bring the closing too? Okay, don't forget to tell him about Christmas.
Yeah, come Friday. Bring your families, everybody, Friday, vigil. All right, Friday night instead of Sunday, be here on Friday night. It's before Christmas Eve, all that garbage, so get here on Friday night. 7:30, be here.
Oh, it's going to be special.
Listen, one thing, who loves to give?
Amen, everybody.
All right, start receiving. Amen. Who likes to receive?
Yeah.
Start giving.
Yeah.
I think there's two. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. There's some people that have issues receiving. I have a tough time receiving, and did. I received more, but I think that's the breakthrough, because you want to be a giver and a receiver, but I believe there's one or the other that's in our lives, and we feel guilty about one of them. You got to search your hearts and find out which one, and start doing the opposite for that breakthrough in your lives. Peace. I just seen two doors. Peace is right there for the kingdom of God. You know, what Jim's been ministering the last couple weeks, it's been awesome. But that peace, listen, he's talking about that rhema word. I'm telling you, man, I lived it this week. I got bashed. I got attacked. But you know what? I had to look within me to see what God was ministering to in me. Everybody else out there is a tool for you to come closer in the relationship with God. It's not, oh, woe, woe is me, and all that other garbage. We have to look within ourselves. The relationship is between you and God. It's not between you and your parents or your spouse and God. It's you and God. And we got to work out our own salvation. This is getting more clear and more clear and more clear as this thing is coming on. If you don't pay attention, you're going to miss it. You're going to be left behind. And it's going to be harder for you to get out of the shit. I hate to say it. But you're going to be knee deep and neck deep in shit. And nobody's going to be able to help and grab your hand. So don't take this for granted. Because it's not. You may have it up here, but we need it here in our heart where we can live. Amen? Have a great week, and we will see. Wednesday night's going to be a Q&A. We're still doing Wednesday nights at 7:30. All right? Yeah, the round table. And it is. It's an interesting, and whatever happens, happens. It just goes and it goes, you know? Yeah, log on. I don't care if it's Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Well, not Friday, because you'll be here for the vigil. But hold on to God, especially in these times. I know it brings depression to some people. And we have to, the one word that was brought up Sunday or Wednesday, with people that we miss, be thankful and grateful for the times that we had with them. And if we don't have that certain person or we think we're missing out, embrace the people that are around us and that we're grateful and thankful for the new lives that we have in Him with our mates, our friends, children. Be thankful and grateful because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We have no clue. It could be gone in an instant. But be thankful and grateful for what you have. And don't always, oh, I want this, I want that. Nah, be thankful and grateful for where you are at, and God will bless you where you are because you won't see it coming. And that is a true gift. Amen. Have a good week.